Cavs need a three. Sexton works on Irving, trying to get loose. He'll fire. He knocks it down. Osmond steps into a long-distance jumper. Allen to the bucket. He crushes it home. Garland's there. Garland upstairs for Allen. Oh, look out. By Kyrie. Sexton got it back. Nance for the tie. He knocks it down. Drummond ran at him. Love this time up toward Drummond. And Drummond dunks. Oh, my. Up to a Okoro. He lays it up. He lays it in.
And, woo! Cleveland! This is for you!
Hey everyone, Evan Damerill here, co-host of Locked On Cavs. Joining me as always is my co-host Chris Manning. Chris, how you doing today, man?
Doing good. You know, collared shirt on at home, getting those work vibes kind of right, you know? I'll adjust the angles a little bit so you're not staring at my window if you're watching. You know, just come up and in the world on this Wednesday. How are you, buddy?
You have a certain level of professionalism. I just have a Japanese baseball shirt on.
I thought that was like a Cincinnati red shirt at first, then I like read the word it's, and I was like, oh.
Well, the fun thing about the Japanese Baseball League is they've just directly ripped off most MLB logos. Like, the Giants are a carbon copy of the Giants in Japan, and I think they're the Tokyo Giants. But, yeah, no, it's a fun time.
Welcome to Locked On Japanese Baseball, where we're not going to know what we're talking about for 30 minutes.
Konnichiwa, Ohio, which is a word in Japanese. But, Chris, before we get started for today's show, we're going to be taking some questions from some viewers, some good talking points, actually some interesting topics that are kind of topical, if you will, especially when it comes to Lonzo Ball. But we'll get back to that in a second. Actually, the Cavs today, this evening, play the Detroit Pistons in what's going to be a bit of an interesting matchup, I think. Like, Detroit isn't very good record-wise and personnel-wise. Killian Hayes is out for a while with a hip injury, and that's unfortunate because he was an exciting player coming into this year's draft. But it could be an interesting matchup for the Cavs, who are suddenly thin at power forward, and Detroit poses a problem at the four position for that. So it might be an interesting matchup, don't you think?
Yeah, there's the two things I guess I'm looking at is I want to see how the Cavs deploy Isaac Okoro in this game. You know, do you put him on Jeremy Grant and figure out the rest later? Like, what do you do there? Obviously, and you know, we'll see what happens with the injuries and who's playing. You know, Kevin doesn't seem like Kevin is back yet, but it's on my list of things to ask JB pregame. And, you know, Darius Garland is off his minutes restriction, so does he come back to start right away? Does he not? You know, how long is Larry out? Like, I mean, because he's not listed as out, if I'm remembering correctly, but there's stuff to wonder about, stuff to figure out here, and it's all kind of interesting. And the Pistons, as you mentioned, are not a very good team. The Cavs had a very long double overtime game against them not that long ago, but the Cavs are, you know,
that was a slog.
That was a long, long, long basketball game. But Detroit, you know, for the season, is truly, again, like maybe the worst team in the East. Like, maybe not as depressing as like the Wizards, considering the roster construction and sort of how you would expect some of that. But it's, you know, again, as you noted, not a pretty good team. They're 30th in win differential. They're 20th in offense, 21st in defense. So record-wise, not working out for them. Not like bottom of the league in offense and defense, broadly speaking. But it's a very winnable game for the Cavs, absolutely.
No, it absolutely is. I'm interested with your Okoro point. I think Jeremy Grant is who will draw the assignment for Okoro defensively, because he has been really good for the Pistons. Yeah, Okoro will be guarding Jeremy Grant. Yeah, that's what I meant. But no, Jeremy Grant's been very, very good for the Pistons this year. As a signing that I liked when Detroit made it, but I'm just bullish on Jeremy Grant to begin with, and maybe I also had some reservations thinking that Jeremy Grant looked that good because he played with a very good Nuggets squad. But no, Jeremy Grant's just a good player, and taking advantage of the fact that the Pistons are kind of banged up and depleted offensively, and might give the Cavs some problems. I'm interested to see who the Cavs do start. Your Garland point is a good one that we talked about earlier. At least Angel Gray was talking with him about that after shoot around today, and they mostly focused on him coming off the bench. That was the big focus, where Darius was like, yeah, I'm okay as long as it helps the team win. So I wouldn't be surprised if Darius is back in the starting lineup tonight, but if he's still coming off the bench and if maybe JB doesn't rock the boat too much, because it's kind of worked even though they've had two losses, that the lineup they had against the Lakers was a close loss. Maybe they stick with Darius coming off the bench just to provide a little bit of spark and punch just as the Cavs kind of figure out the rest of their depth issues at the four and everything. Because they got to, I know having Darius come off the bench doesn't address that issue, but it kind of balances things out in the grand scheme of things. But yeah, he's off his minutes restriction, so we'll kind of see where it goes there. But I think the Cavs will win this one, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think, because as bad as Detroit is, teams will probably play down to a team that bad, and so maybe that's where Cleveland's going to run into a bit of trouble tonight.
Yeah, I think that's all that needs to be said. We'll see how it goes. We'll be recapping it on the Locked On Cavs feed, so please tune in there if you're looking for some recap
action. We'll be joined with Pistons guy Lazarus Jackson as well to recap it, and then we'll also give our individual thoughts as well on the game, where we give our usual MVP, play of the game, and stat of the night honors. So check that out wherever you find your podcast. I'll be hitting your feed probably either after the game or first thing tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. But Chris, we also have some questions from some of our listeners, and we should answer one before we take our first quick break. Mm-hmm. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the elephant in the room, or let's save that for a full segment itself, I think.
Yeah, we need the big one is segment worthy. So where are we starting here?
Well, it's just a question I think is let's talk maybe a little bit of a JaVale McGee trade. I think that's kind of imminent at this point. That's a question you've gotten a lot from a few listeners, so I'm just kind of broad stroking brush here. A lot of people think JaVale McGee. You and I also don't think JaVale McGee is much longer for Cleveland after acquiring Jared Allen. And a good question that we got from one of our listeners, and just again a common question as well, is what would you like the Cavs to do with possibly trading JaVale? Addressing the backup point guard position seems to be a prevalent question, or maybe even adding some depth to the four just with Love and Nance out. What do you think the Cavs should do, and who do you think is a realistic trade partner for JaVale McGee?
Brooklyn is the team that makes the most sense, and although they don't have players that necessarily interest me, nor do they have the players to trade for anyone right now. That's just their roster construction, and they don't have the type of contracts to match salary in a lot of ways. But I think they have that disabled player exception because of the center Dinwiddie injury. So you have the ability to send him there. And I frankly would just keep getting picks. I think you want, if you could get, I think you would rather, maybe if the right guy pops up, like Jared Allen, but that was obviously a much different trade circumstance than getting involved in the Harden trade and helping grease the wheels on that a little bit. So I think that was a different circumstance.
I don't think there's many superstars that are available right now, because James Harden was really the last major domino.
Beal's the one you would think would be next, but his name is not out there in the way that Harden's was or anything like that. So I think we're in a situation where you're looking just to continue to stock assets. You want to just keep getting more second-round picks. I don't think you're getting a first for JaVale. I think Brian Windhorst wrote a really good piece recently about how so many first-round picks have already been traded, and a bunch of teams can't even trade first right now because of prior commitments. So I think you're looking to get a second or two. I think you're looking to just add to that that haul of seconds you have that you can continue to use to grease the wheels on other trades or move up in the draft or whatever. I think that's what you're looking for with JaVale. I wouldn't expect to get thing you're going to build with later for JaVale. I think he's been great. I think he could help a contender for sure, but a center who's going to play 20 minutes a game is not going to get you a prime asset. I don't think the value is that, but I think you can get something for him, and I think you should absolutely try it. And Brooklyn to me is the most obvious team for that.
I think the Cavs could get a second round pick for sure from him in Brooklyn. I think Brooklyn is the most logical trade destination, and like you said, they have an injured player exception because of Dinwiddie, and it just kind of slots in perfectly for what McGee's $4.2 million contract is. And in the grand scheme of things, this is a huge steal for Kobe Altman and the Cavs, because just to put this in context, to get JaVale McGee, they got a second round pick and they sent two non-guaranteed deals in Jordan Bell and Alphonso McKinney for him. And then to flip JaVale McGee for another second round pick. So you're essentially trading two non-guaranteed deals for two second round picks. That's a pretty good win for the Cavs in my book. And like you said, you keep acquiring assets, you kind of work forward from there. I know Kevin Porter Jr. is no longer with Cleveland, but acquiring all those second round picks and using our good friend cash considerations, the best player in the league himself, to acquire a player like Kevin Porter Jr. is exactly a move the Cavs can kind of do to work the margins they usually do, and a nice move in general. I think, just acquiring more assets is the right move. And Kobe Altman said, as a part of the Jared Allen trade too, is they were accumulating assets and then they cash in a little bit to get players like a Jared Allen. And a player like that becomes available for the Cavs, whether it's through the draft or a young player that's just available in general, it's good for the Cavs to have these assets on hand in order to make these deals work.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think another team that maybe, if they wanted I thought, maybe Boston, but I don't really think there's a trade option there. I mean, you could do something like Carson Edwards or Romeo, yeah. like someone, something like that, where you get like one of their young guys and or a second round pick and take him back for JaVale. I think that could work too. I think the teams that basically might need someone to guard Joel Embiid, you could put all of those teams on the list, and that comprises your Eastern Conference teams at the very least. A lot of the Western Conference teams are set in that sense. You know, the Clippers have what they have. They have Zubac and Ibaka. The Lakers had JaVale, obviously, but now they have Marc Gasol and AD, and maybe, like, you know, I don't think they need JaVale. Or
Trez as well.
Right. So, oh, yes, they have Trez, who's not the... I mean, defensively, he's not going to help
he's
you.
He's not defensively the presence, but he's another big man.
Yeah, on the there are teams that should want JaVale, and I do think that maybe, like, the Cavs should be able to get at least, like, a second-round pick or, like, a young player who's not like immediately headed into restricted free agency in exchange for him. I don't think that's unrealistic to expect.
No, not at all. I think you're absolutely right. And if you're actually willing to make a bet on this, Chris, you know, it might be a place for you to actually make that bet.
Oh, I do. Why don't you tell them about it?
Well, it's our friends at betonline.ag. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. And like I just said, it's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Folks, you can bet on the NBA games on a day-to-day basis. You can bet on NBA futures. You can bet on the Super Bowl. And I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to win that one. So there's some money there as well. And if you want to get in on the action and not sit on the sidelines anymore, check out betonline.ag, like I said. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive betting partner of the Locked On Podcast Network. And if you want to get more sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast, Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start with your day with all the sports you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts, whether that's Spotify, Apple Pods, Stitcher, you name it. It's probably Refi and Locked On Cavs, so check them out as soon as you can. All right, Chris, we're back, and I wanted to save this one for this segment. Lonzo Ball, according to Shams Charania of The Athletic, is available in trade talks from the New Orleans Pelicans as they look to try and get Kira Lewis into their rotation. Our friend of the show, Jeff Nomina, we made fun of him the other day for his Ron Collins Sexton take, asked us about this, and let me read his quote, or his question verbatim from Jeff, because he texted it to us. Scrolling. The Cavs have a major need for a ball handler. Do you think Lonzo could be a third guard for them off the bench that provides a settle... that could help settle some lineups and provide size that Sexland lacks? Yeah, I think so. I just don't know what the Cavs have that could intrigue the Pelicans.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and I think you wonder about what Lonzo is too, because it appears...
Oh, I love Lonzo Ball here.
Okay, but I have some concerns about the fit, because I think if you're looking...
Don't you tell?
Okay, so I think if you're looking at like an optimal third guard type to play with Sexland, and whether that means Lonzo's like your sixth man or like whatever, like, or
starting three,
or well, or like, if you know, we don't know what's up with this DG point guard thing. Like, you could see it working out different ways in theory. I would guess that he's going to be starting sooner rather than later. It's what everyone kind of assumes. I think the thing with Lonzo that is most concerning to me is also what would have concerned me with Dante Exum, which is that he's not a shooter. Now, so last year, pre-bubble, he was shooting very well from three. He finished the year shooting 38% from three last year, 39 on above the break three-pointers. That has dropped to 30% overall this year, and he shot 31% as a rookie and 33% in 18-19. And this year, he's shooting a career-worst 27% on non-corner three-pointers. He's shooting 39%, which is a career-best on corner three. So the shooting is a real concern. But if you're if you're looking to me as like the other consideration I would have that's a negative is he's about to be a restricted free agent. If you're looking at him and you're looking at like getting him, you have to be pretty sure that he's like worth, like Jared Allen is similar because Jared Allen's going to be a restricted free agent. But you look at Jared Allen and you're like, okay, I absolutely know that this guy can play with us. Like, we believe in his fit. It's very clean, etc. It's not as obvious with Lonzo, and you'd be basing it in a weird season and like trying to collect all this data and film and figure this out on a very short time frame. I think there is like kind of like an obvious trade. There are two kind of trades you could do, and there's a price I'd be a maximum price I'd be willing to pay. So you could either Lonzo's making about $11 million. So you need to do one of Jetty or Torian Prince and send them out for Lonzo. And the Cavs are probably having, just because Lonzo has a name, has a little more kind of value in some ways. Like, you're probably having to grease the wheels, but like, I don't think you're getting, like, maybe is this worth like a second round pick? I would not do a future first for Lonzo at this point, considering you have to pay him very soon.
Absolutely not.
If you could get him for really low, I'm all for it. The LeVar stuff is what it is. I think
the LeVar stuff's a little overblown.
Yeah, I think Lonzo seemingly has distanced himself from him. I'm a little skeptical of the shot, and I think that's a real concern. But I think if you're looking at like the kind of player that could make sense as like your third guard with these two guys, and you can play him in different lineups, and he's a good defender, like, I think it makes sense. And if you believe that you can help his shot, because that's something the Cavs do believe, that they can really help with guys' shots, it's putting a lot of stock in that with him and Okoro, but I don't hate it.
Yeah.
There's a max price I'm willing to pay. One of those two guys, probably I'd prefer to trade Prince, I think. And I don't know if New Orleans is interested in that. I also just don't know what the trade market is for Lonzo. That's one of the things here. So I just like don't know. Like, there's fake trades I've seen that are like, one was like Derek Jones Jr. and a future first for Portland. And I'm like, why would they do all of that? Like, his value's never been lower right now. It's just what it is.
And David Griffin also is a sneaky good GM in terms of trades. That's where Kobe Altman learned it from. So I am interested what the Pelicans could get for him. But like you said, his value is cratered. And I've kind of like sniffed around the league a lot. And there's just like, he's so indifferent when playing for the Pelicans. The Pelicans have just, I don't know what the roster construction really is. I've questioned some of the moves Griff has made with New Orleans. I'm trying to like just fire up the trade machine to look at the matching salaries. Like you said, Torian Prince makes sense for Lonzo, maybe a little bit. Yeah, like, I think that's just, maybe you add an extra wing depth, just like, so, because you can never have too many wings, and it doesn't hurt New Orleans' case when they are kind of lackluster in terms of just, you know, Josh Hart. They have Alexander Walker is more of a two. They have Sindarius Thornwell. They also have Brandon Ingram. Like, the Pelicans do need some depth on the perimeter, and maybe Torian Prince is the answer for that. But yeah, no, the Cavs should not trade a first round pick for Lonzo Ball, especially if they're going to extend him this summer. I think maybe Torian Prince in a future second could maybe interest Griff if they don't get many offers, if his value is that low. But I do like his fit overall, just because he is a tertiary playmaker who can defend, that you can put next to Sexton, you can put next to Garland, and he's just a healthier version of Dante Exum, because Dante Exum just couldn't stay healthy with the Cavs. Chris, a number like this was floated by Tim Bontemp 5 months ago, and he was speaking to an executive. He said he'd pay Lonzo about $12 to $14 million per year over 3 years. So 36 to, doing the math in my head, 42 million over 3 years. Would you pay Lonzo Ball that kind of money if you're the Cavs, or would you just kind of, I mean, and Rich Paul's his agent, and Rich is an agent who will get the most for his clients as possible. Would you pay Lonzo Ball that kind of money to be your backup guard or your first guard off the bench, or would you just kind of let him walk?
Well, I think if you trade for him, you're not letting him walk. Because if you trade for him, you're giving up a second round pick, let's just say it's Prince, you'd be giving up like one of the expiring contract that you could use next year. Not to mention a guy who's been pretty good for the Cavs since they got him from Brooklyn. So I think if you trade for him, you're betting that he's a guy. I think that's a lot of money to pay
a non-shooting point guard.
Yeah, but I also wonder if, like, that was 5 months ago before he apparently forgot how to shoot, and I wonder if you could get him for lower and maybe it's like a shorter term deal so he can get out on the market sooner or something. I don't know, but I don't hate it. I don't know if I'd rush into it. Like, I don't quite know what Lonzo's market is going to be if he hits restricted free agency. Like, there's a lot of complicated questions for me in terms of what he is. But there's stuff he does that he's very brilliant at. And it's not a bad upside swing in my mind, depending on what his next. Like, if you overspend on him, that would be silly. But, like, if you could get him on a pretty team-friendly deal, I don't think it's, like, the worst swing in the world. I wouldn't be rushing to do it. And if the bidding goes up on him for whatever reason, then I'm absolutely not doing it. But it is, we'll see where this goes.
Mm-hmm. No, I absolutely agree with that. And let's say the Cavs, because the big thing is the Cavs don't have depth at the one right now, because Matthew Dellavedova is still out indefinitely due to concussion protocol. There's no real update on that, because concussions are such a finicky thing, especially considering Delly's history with concussions. So if they don't trade for Lonzo, Chris, another question is, like, what young players could we kind of kick the tire, or like, not we, but the Cavs could kick the tires on that are maybe available now or just looking down the line? Because the Cavs kind of want to look at, like, it's a bit of a Yogi Ferrell situation. Yogi obviously didn't stick with the team. He's no longer with the Cavs because of the Taurean Prince and Jared Allen trade, but is there a player, Chris, that maybe the Cavs could get, a young player the Cavs could either get via trade or just in free agency? Like, there are a few names that are popping up right now, but I'm just curious, is there anyone you have in mind at this moment?
You know, I think right now I don't quite care. Like, it's in season. Like, I'm not, like, super pressed on that. You know, like, I think, like, Frank Ntilikina, if he doesn't work out in New York, I'm perpetually fascinated by Frankie Smoke, so he's still only 23 years old, and I don't feel like he's really part of the Knicks' plans going forward.
Like, which is a shame.
But yeah, I mean, it is what it is, but I think you're looking at, like, rookies that haven't worked out other places. Like, I'm not particularly interested in someone like Jerome Robinson, but any guy who's, like, 25 and under, who's, like, doesn't really fit with what they're doing, I think you should roll the dice on them. If you can get them at a relatively okay number, like, I don't think it's, like, a dumb thing to really look at if you're the Cavs. Just, you gotta, you know, consider the market, consider kind of what guys are making, can look at how they perform this year, and you see where you go. But to me, I would look at Frankie Smokes would be, like, kind of an option as, like, your third, as, like, a third guard, probably much, much cheaper than Lonzo. You know, maybe Mo Wagner from the Wizards could be, like, a big option if you want to kind of go that route. Like, you have some options there if you want to kind of roll the dice on and or someone like Isaiah Hartenstein, who's with Denver and has done some interesting stuff there, but is gonna has a player option for less than $2 million. Like, if he goes on the open market again, do you maybe bring him in to, like, be Jared Allen's backup and roll the dice and see if you can develop him into something more than he's been so far? I think stuff like that, Evan, is where I go. And you know what, yeah, frankly, like, Gary Trent Jr. is a restricted free agent next year, and I don't know what his market's like. And Portland truly has a lot of incentive to keep him, but he's pretty good, and I would look hard at him too.
Yep. No, looking ahead, all those names make sense, and I agree with all of you. Mo Wagner especially intrigues me. If John Balin was still the coach, he'd be more on board with
his,
that.
His brother's
addition.
Also about to be, like, a late, like, lottery pick projected right now and by some people. Like, maybe, you know, brothers Wagner in Cleveland.
That sounds like a movie within itself somehow, some way. But his brother Franz and Mo, like, that just sounds like a sitcom taking place in Cleveland. But Gary Trent Jr. would be intriguing as well if he somehow doesn't work out for Portland, because I think the Blazers are pretty clean cap wise if I'm thinking off the top of my head, but things could get murky, you never know. But, like, looking right now, if the Cavs aren't able to swing a trade just to get some depth at the one, which is what they did when they got JaVale McGee, they looked at the market and realized it's not that great right now, so they went and got a backup center with McGee, and Allen fell into their laps. Guys that kind of intrigued me, Elie Okobo, at one point was considered better than Colin Sexton by some draft experts, which look who's laughing now, but Okobo is out there and available. He'd be interesting. I think Emmanuel Mudiay still has a little bit of juice left in him, and he's a competent enough guard that you could have come off the bench. Like, Mudiay you could have for cheap. If not that, maybe Quinn Cook just for a little bit, maybe more age, or Shabazz Napier to begin that long con to lure LeBron back after a Cavs executive heckled him the other night. Yeah, I don't know. It's not a great market. I don't know who's really available in trade talks. I think things are going to calm down, maybe for Brad Beal discomfort. I mean, I'm sure everyone's seen the picture of him just losing it on the bench after losing to the Rockets the other night. And maybe for Brad Beal's trade talks start to materialize, maybe the Cavs could be a third team on that and kind of, like, benefit from a team being desperate to get a superstar, like Brooklyn was desperate to get James Harden. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to see what will happen next. But Chris, you know what else I'm interested in? Some of our sponsors today. Why don't you tell me about them?
Yeah, so everyone, if you need a protein bar, if you need a way to kind of keep yourself going through trade season, or if you're going to, you know, NBA All-Star voting, even though the All-Star game, I don't even know what that looks like, is coming, you can vote NBA vote. If you're going to hashtag NBA vote Colin Sexton like 9 bajillion times, you're going to need a protein bar to fuel you, and Built Bar is the best tasting one out there. They have a bunch of amazing flavors, including coconut almond, raspberry, German chocolate, banana bread, and the one I had this morning before my workout, mint brownie. Built Bars are healthy, they're great for the health conscious guy. They help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They're great for anyone doing a keto diet out there. And, like, for example, the Cherry Bar C1, another one in my rotation, has 17 grams of protein, just 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and just 4 grams of net carbohydrates. And if you're a Weight Watchers person out there, or WW as it's called now, they're like 3 points a bar. That's like a really, really good thing.
Oh, it's awesome.
Right now, free cooler with purchase. That's while supplies last. And go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you get 20% off your next order. Again, promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Also want to tell you guys about the Rejecting the Screen podcast. It's hard to believe that it's been a year since we tragically lost Kobe Bryant. On the Rejecting the Screen podcast, hosts Adam Stenko and Noah Kozlov are honoring Kobe's life and career with a two-part special this week. Hear stories you haven't heard anywhere else about Kobe from teammates, opponents, coaches, and journalists. Subscribe to Rejecting the Screen and listen this week to celebrate the life of one of the NBA's all-time stars.
And we are back. Chris, final segment of the day. We already talked about the Cavs playing the Pistons tonight, but we do have a little bit more intrigue and actually another Jeff question for us that I wanted to just wait for a second to drop. Where are you guys at on Garland? Is he good? Is he bad but shows flashes of being good? Or is he just bad? And then he kind of ripped us because he finally got to the point of the pod where we made fun of him the other day. But Chris, how do you feel about young Darius? Because I think he's good, but I'm starting to get tired of saying I see flashes of potential.
I think he's on the way to being good. I think okay. Like the long absence doesn't hurt him. I think he's very clearly like a good passer. He's very clearly got vision. He's very clearly kind of the most comfortable guard in terms of throwing up lobs and doing that kind of stuff. Like Kasekson's gotten better at it. Don't get me wrong.
He called himself the best lob passer in the NBA today.
Did he say that on the team or in the NBA? I think he meant on the team.
I think if he said the team, that makes more sense, but. No, somebody asked him, who do you think the best lob passer is?
But I thought that was in relation to the team and not the...
I thought it was in relation to the NBA, so here we are.
Whatever.
The team makes way more sense.
The team would make much more sense because Darius, I think, believes in himself, but I think that would be, even for him, would be like a little much. I think he's on his way to being good. There's stuff you need to see. I still think he needs to get stronger. Like, his body looks better, but I think he needs, like, a summer, like, eating Built Bars and working out at Ohio State, like, under their football program. Like, he just needs to do some, like, hang up with Isaac Okoro for 3 months and just get ripped.
Just lock Darius Garland in a gym with Isaac Okoro.
He needs to go live with Colin in Atlanta for 3 months and just push weighted sleds up hills. For 4 months.
And that in fashion is what Colin's into, so maybe that's what Darius needs to get on himself.
But with Darius, I think you want to see him be a little more aggressive taking three-pointers. I think defensively he's competing this year. I think him and Sexton both are just like actually competing on that end, and that's a meaningful thing. And if you want to look at Darius's numbers, I think also paint like a very good picture for him. You know, his usage is a little bit up this year. But he's assisting way more. It's still like relatively low, under average for his position. But his usage for his position is like a little like it's relatively close. He's got a very good assist to usage ratio, above in the 65th percentile of point guards. His turnover percentage has dropped like about 2%. He's still turning the ball over a lot, which isn't great. But and you look at his shooting, like he's shooting. Three-pointers at 39%, corner threes at 45%. He's shooting a little above 50% at the rim, which is a 10% jump from last year. Like, he's definitely improved. I think there's another leap to go. I think the injury he had was a real bummer. It was a real momentum stopper for him. It was unfortunate, but I think he's on the way to being good, and I'm a believer in Darius. I'm a big, big believer in Darius and in Sexland, broadly speaking.
Well, yeah, no, I am too. I think the Cavs had two hits. If you look at the fifth overall pick and where they picked Darius, I don't think there's many better players available at that spot, so I think the Cavs had a hit there at that pick. But I'm just kind of waiting. Yeah, like you said, you have to be patient with him. There's Kyrie Irving kind of murky the waters a lot when it came to franchise guards, at least for this generation of Cavs fans. Maybe so those who remember Mark Price know what it's like to be patient as well. But no, the Cavs were, they made a good pick with Garland, and I think he's coming along the right way. I just need him to be a little bit more confident in his shot and confident from shooting for the perimeter, because if his shot doesn't start falling, he starts to drift a little bit offensively, and that's understandable. Maybe he doesn't want to be completely detrimental to this team, because a lot of Cavs players are hyper-obsessed with being efficient when on the floor and making the rest of the team better. So if the trade-off is Darius isn't as aggressive offensively, but he's still keeping the rock moving, I think that's a good thing, and maybe we kind of wait a little bit longer. Maybe we wait post All-Star break and we're not really seeing like super dominant Darius games still. Not dominant, but promising Darius games still. Maybe we start to worry a little bit more. I'm willing to move the goalpost on my initial Darius Garland take just because of how his season's gone and just how unprecedented this year is for the Cavs.
If there's one area that I think is very interesting with him that I don't know what to make of necessarily is him as a him in the short mid-range. Last year he was, and this is like floater shots, This is like shots where he's going to get into the lane. It's a shot he can get a lot of and throw up a floater. It's one of his go-to moves, frankly. But so like last year, he was 47% on these shots according to Cleaning the Glass. This year, he's down to 33%. And it's interesting because he's flipped from 34% on long mid-range shots last year to 50% this year. So he's like making a lot of like the longer mid-range shots that he's taking, which he's only taking like 10% of them. But 30% of his shots, Evan, are coming in that short mid area, which is about 6% above what it was last year. He's taking fewer threes overall out of his diet than last year, and even though he's making them at a good clip, I think you want to see him, for me, dial up the three-pointers a little bit more, be more comfortable doing that. And then I think if he can make that floater, if that can be like a part of his diet that he can stick, it opens up a lot for him, because not only will it help him be more efficient as a scorer, but in terms of playing with Jared Allen, playing with JaVale, playing with Dre, even passing, kicking out the shooters and stuff, if that floater becomes something teams have to be aware of more reliably with him, I think if he can start making it and clipping it, it's going to open up passing stuff, and it's going to make the offense move. I really think, as much as Colin is the engine of everything going on right now, if you want the next level of the Cavs offense, it's going to involve Darius improving more in everything he's doing, but I think particularly as a shooter and as a three-point shooter and on those floaters, because he's going to have the ball a lot. Him and Sexton are going to take turns kind of running the offense, and particularly when Sexton sits, I think you should lean on Darius more and more and more and see how he does. Particularly since, you know, Kevin Porter Jr., you don't have the option with him to do that anymore, and like, who else do you really have on the team to do that now? You don't really have anyone else unless you want to like play Damian Dotson point guard minutes, which isn't like the best use of what Dotson is. I think Darius is on his way to being good, but I want to see how he handles this. And I frankly, Evan, I want to see him starting. I understand the minutes restriction. Yeah. I understand spinning it so he, like, you can play him in the fourth quarter. Like, I'm willing to buy that for a little bit. I think you got to start him the moment he's healthy. I don't really see why. I don't really get the benefit of him being a bench piece. Like, I think that's very weird to me if that's something he's doing in 5 weeks. Like, he could start tonight. We don't know that yet. But I would be weird to me if he doesn't start.
No, it'll be weird to know for sure. And I guess it'll have to see what happens. Like we said, though, the Cavs play the Pistons tonight. We're getting this episode out before this game. But we'll be giving our thoughts on that anywhere. You'll find that anywhere you get their podcasts. And Chris, I think that's going to have to do it for us today on WKYC. Thank you again for everyone if you're checking us out for the first time on here. Like I said, you can find us anywhere you can get your podcast, whether it's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere pretty much at this point. Some big news for the Locked On Network as a whole. We are now officially affiliated with Tegna, so you'll be seeing us a lot more often going forward. And Tegna is the parent company of WKYC itself, so you'll be seeing a lot of us more going forward. And I hope you don't get too sick of us yet. But Chris, is there anything you want to say to the fine folks at home before we head out of here?
Yeah, you know, the whole network is really killing it right now. We're very excited to be partnering with Tenga even further than we are. And we were one of the pilot sites for this, and it's gone really well. Salute to Ian Hill and the whole team over there that's been doing it. Ben Axelrod still waiting for my cold brew. The heck, man.
Ben, what the heck?
The heck, man.
I know it's a pandemic. You can drop it off safely outside, and I'll get it and just say, thanks, Ben.
Yeah, buddy. What the heck's going on here? But, you know, really excited. And if you want more Cleveland stuff or whatever you want, the Locked On has it. You know, Locked On Indians, Locked On Browns. If you're a big Lamar Stevens head, Locked On Penn State exists if you want that. Anything you want, Locked On probably has it. So go check out all our great podcasts.
No, for real. Check everyone out. Make sure you check out Locked On Cavs first. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes if you happen to be listening. We really appreciate
it. 5 stars only.
And we will give you shout-outs if you do that. I'm going to go trade some more stocks on Robinhood. Chris is going to, and we're both going to get back to work. So, yeah. Everyone have a good day. We'll see you soon. Boom.